when there's such temptation. One thing leads to another. Too late to run for cover. She's much too close for comfort.
You're listening to WCBN FM Ann Arbor. Up next is Living Writers. As part of the Summer of Music, we're going through the archives to September of 2009 for an interview with Henry Grimes, including some live performances. Stay tuned.
I'm T. Hetzel. You've got Living Writers. Today, I'm so pleased to have in the studio Henry Grimes here and Margaret Davis Grimes and also Matt Endhall. It's a special edition of Living Writers because Henry Grimes is coming through town. He'll be playing tonight at the Canterbury House. Matt, it's at 8 o'clock. Is that the showtime you've got promoted?
Yes, the show starts at 8 o'clock. The doors are at 7:30.
So, and come one, come all, get there early, and be ready to enjoy a great night. Just as way of introduction, I'll start out briefly, and then we'll fill in some of the pieces of the biography as we go along. And Henry has a book out with Buddy's Knife, Signs Along the Road, Poems. This book came out, I think, in the States in 2007. Is that right, Henry? So. Around then, so we'll hear some poems and we'll hear some music today. So it is. It's going to be kind of. I'm really excited. A great afternoon here, and thanks for joining us, Ann Arbor, and those streaming elsewhere. Henry Grimes has played more than 330 concerts in 23 countries, including many festivals, since May of 2003, when he made his astonishing return to the music world after 35 years away. He was born and raised in Philadelphia and attended the Mousbaum School and Juilliard. A lot. Then he cut his chops he's one of the greats, basically, from the 50s and 60s, and played with names you'd recognize, like Benny Goodman, Don Cherry, Thelonious Monk, Charles Mingus. The list goes on. And then there's those 35 years, and we'll get to some of that during the hour. Now he's received many honors in the recent years, including composer grants, a grant from the Acadia Foundation. He's been working at universities like this one. He's had residencies, and now Henry Grimes lives and teaches in New York City. And we're just so happy to have you here today, Henry and Margaret.
Oh, thank you. I'm very happy to be here.
Thanks, Tina.
Oh, you just busted me, Margaret, with my name there. That's great. So, Matt, would you like to start us off with one of your questions about music?
Well, sure. I have a couple prepared here. Let me just bring some up. I guess to go back and to do some early biographical stuff, I wanted to ask Henry how you became interested in music as a child. Initially,
I was inspired by my sister's high school. She was graduating from, I think it was junior high school. I believe it was junior high school. But anyway, she had with her group. Her group wasn't her group musically. Was her group as one of the. Persons that, but anyway, she was graduating, and it was nothing but a bunch of violins. I walked into this auditorium, and it seemed like a big overswelling.
An ocean of violins?
Music. Yeah, there was violins all over the place. You know, I never seen anything like that, and I've been inspired by playing the music and the violin that way, you know.
And your first teacher was Mr. Whitman on the violin, was it?
First teacher, his name was what was his name now?
or you know what? That's what I read.
German, German name, Littmann, Professor Littmann.
Oh, okay. And then okay, and so and that was when you were quite young on the violin. And then when did you discover the bass? When did the bass come into your life?
Well, when I was in high school, I went to Mersbaum, and you had to take up these five instruments, and bass was the one that I chose out of five. One, and you know, while I came in there on violin, and during the time that I was there, I switched to, I didn't switch to, but I played English horn, tuba, percussion, and one more.
Bass.
And was it the bass that you just found a connection with? Was it almost instantaneous, or how did it become? Because you're synonymous with bass, like you're the go-to guy.
Well, I was being trained to have a big, have a good professional status, you know, as a musician, and that's what I did, you know. And the bass was one that I switched into. That following grade, you know, from the violins, I started out with the violin, and I first went to school there with the violin, and then I started going through the bass and English horn.
And is that where what you also focused on when you were in Juilliard as well? Was it the bass?
Yeah, the bass. I did a lot of things, very interesting as I think of them. Opera, I did for an opera orchestra. I did a work, and I'd do a lot of backup work for opera singers.
And you were really young, right? At that time, what were you like? Were you like 17 or so?
About 19.
Or 19.
You mean when I went to Juilliard, I was about 19.
Oh, 19. Okay. And then you were out playing these gigs then, or it was just part of the regular school curriculum.
Yeah. It was very, very stimulating thing to do, you know.
When did you start writing poems, Henry?
Around 1970. Actually, I used to write a little bit before that, but I wouldn't call it writing.
Because when you were in high school, you also did a comic strip, right?
With a comic?
A comic, like a cartoon?
I did,
Can you tell us about that? Because that sounds so cool.
I've been out of shape doing that kind of thing. I don't want to say too much about cartooning. I mean, you have to be professional, you know. And I wouldn't want to end up presenting something that's.
That's okay, because we can't get you to do any of that today. Because it's only audio today.
You'd be surprised how people ask me about that cartooning, you know.
Yeah.
But I'd never think so, you know. But
you even wrote poems back then, or you had a journal that you used to write in, or.
Let's see. What was it? I think it was more cartooning than anything else. But no, it wasn't. It wasn't too much of a literary stamp of work then. But in 1970, I was in L.A. That's when I switched to. The only thing I was doing was playing. I was writing poetry, and that's what I would call my music, and how I accepted, but if there was any reason to know music for something, you know, it was the same as the violin or the bass or anything else, which I didn't care about. You know, I just said, well, you know, bass is music is music, and.
And poetry is music.
Music is poetry, and so forth.
And was it what was that? What was the reason with the break with the music at that moment? And the poetry came in as part of. It seems like a continuation of the music, but.
It was a continuation, and that's the way I continued at the time. But at the time, if I wasn't doing something like that. I doubt it. It's doubtful if I would be satisfied with any arrangement that might occur because I'm not playing anything. So I wasn't getting any work, any jobs from
anybody.
You
didn't have a bass at that time. It was broken, and you.
Well, that, you know, since 1970, you know.
Right. So that's when you didn't have the bass and not a violin at that time, so the writing came. Could we hear one of your poems, Henry?
Yeah,
do you?
I have...
I don't know if there's a poem from...
Well, from here, dear.
From that time. Henry, do you have... Because some of... I noticed in the book... Are these poems that you'll be reading, Henry? Are they part of the collection, Signs Along the Road?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so you can order this online. The press is Buddy's Knife, Signs Along the Road.
That's a newer one. You might want to do one from that time.
This is good.
You want to do that one? Okay.
Signs along the road being put there. Signs read all along, as roadside signs are, claimed to an absolute newness and mastery of all mystery, as signs are, the ones that you see go down the road with you, as are trumped all universal sorts of energy that emerges from them, are mystery, I said, as I thought if I would ever see her again. And the condition of them being put there, seen all along the highway. Signs are called, then, these original works of art designed to snare and hold the human heart before, like on a prior occasion when you have seen them in the city's heart, you know out there they are the same as seen all along the highway. You are so naive, we who are the country born, clumping even all the fallen leaves coming along the roadside way. And lo, the bend is steep. And all along the silent time, the earth had grown terrifically. Battered and green, the life we lead I seen all along the highway. And when can it be that I will see her again? Thinking only of to myself. Trying to remember all the shades of scenes put there and filter in through the warm sunlight of her apartment by trying a desire to clamp them into time. All together, all the heart things, all the soul, as seen all along the highway.
Thank you, Henry.
Welcome.
And so the writing, what did it mean to you at that time? Because there was, like, maybe this talking about the 70s, I know, a whole decade to talk about at once, but what did it, like, the writing mean to you then?
Well, I look at all of the library material on what writers are, and basically, I study what writers are while studying poets. You know what poets are. Poets are writers, so I do this library material and.
Would you go to the LA Public Library and hang out and do your own. Study session. Then.
Yeah, I'd go to this library in Los Angeles, and you know, like that.
And then have these notebooks where you maybe continued the conversation from, I don't know, the ideas in the books that you were reading at the time,
mm-hmm.
and yeah. How many notebooks did you come up with during this time?
We have about 90 at home, handwritten notebooks.
Maybe. A lot of these are just some of them, and signs along the road. But there's some others I like to get
published as well.
Yeah, I think I could gauge that a little bit. You know, sort of balance good effects with better effects, or so forth.
Henry, when you're writing, are you writing and then reading them aloud, like hearing the rhythms of the language? Like how important, because poetry is, it's for the ear, isn't
mm-hmm.
it? Not just
yeah.
to be on a page.
Yeah.
And so how do you work when can you explain it like in music terms or I don't know what's the best
way?
Well,
I studied one term, for instance, that struck me as very inspiring to know about was the poets the poets would say that what you play is let me see, how come I'm trying to I know exactly what I'm trying to say. I explained this to myself many times.
Mm-hmm. I know. It's different sitting here with us all just listening in on the ideas.
Yeah.
Is it poets had told you something about the music that you played? Oh, poets. Okay.
I was just thinking of this one very good line that got through to me, through books, and I was trying to. It was very precise.
Can you remember?
When you read your poetry, what you do is read it to your audience, and it's just like you're talking to someone. You're not just reading words that go. You know, you have to give it some oomph.
Infusing and, the soul in it.
Yeah.
And the rhythms.
Thing is very forceful imagination, because when you have to imagine that you're talking to someone, and you might have done this with 10 poems, but what I mean is every time I write it, I do it with one poem, and that's to be the poem that I was writing with then, at that moment.
Right, and you bring it to each poem that you're writing.
Yeah.
Well, Henry, why don't we take a short break, and then when we come back, would you mind playing something for us? And so we'll take a short break, and we'll be back. You're listening to Living Writers. I'm T. Hetzel. Today on the program, we've got Henry Grimes, and we'll be back.
Thank you.
good afternoon. Welcome back. You've got Living Writers. Today, Henry Grimes is on the program. You're listening to WCBN.
Thank you.
you, Henry.
Wonderful.
Thank you, Henry. Henry, what Yay. Is what is that piece? What is that called? What is that?
It's something I've heard around. Oh, excuse me.
Thanks.
It's something I heard around the canyons of New York, especially downtown, where you have a lot of Arabian and Indian flutes. I heard around there.
So do these like pieces of music come to you, you're walking along, and then you start feeling how it would be in the violin? Or how does it happen, Henry?
Well, the way it happens with that kind of music, some music that it trains your abilities, and teaches all the music you ever learned in your life, you know, when you play, listen to what is being played. You know it's not under any commercial tags, and you listen to something that comes from Arabia, you know, or, you know, even comes from, you know, the place Sinbad the Sailor was first came to. What's his name? What's the name of that country? Middle Eastern music like that, Chinese, Mexican.
You know what? It sounds like the experience of watching and listening to you, Henry. I don't know if the same for you all here. It was as if so much of life was compacted into this moment, like almost a complete lifetime or something in that one song.
I hear that. I agree.
Thanks for playing. Do you want to read another poem, Henry, or do you want to play some bass now?
I'll play some bass.
Okay, that would be great. That Matt, while Henry's setting up, feel free to jump in with any music questions, please.
Okay.
Bring your expertise to the table, and you too, Margaret.
I'll also jump in just to say, just to remind everybody of the concert tonight, which is happening at the Canterbury House, which is at the corner of Huron and Thayer Streets, right by the construction that's happening down there. The doors are at 7:30, and the concert will start at 8 o'clock. So hope to see everybody there. Henry will do exactly what he's doing here, but right before your eyes.
And much differently.
Oh, yes.
Is it always different, then?
Always
different. So, Henry, what are you going to do? You know, what are you going to play for us now?
I'm going to continue to explore that mode of.
So now on the bass, we'll hear that same mode
yeah.
on the bass now. Wonderful. Thank you. Thank you, Henry. Wow. Did you, so was that a piece that you just made then, just created then, Henry, or how did that?
A part of a piece that I haven't written out. I haven't written it out yet, but I've been improvising things, you know, which is.
So those New York City caverns, like that cavern of sound, is it you're obsessed with right now?
I hope to write them, you know, and that's sort of, it sort of drives me crazy in a sense, you know, over the music, but not, you know, not over anything too weird, you know, crazy, but to music, you know.
Henry, that's something that I wanted to ask you about as well. The degree to which your music is improvised, versus the amount of which is composed, and it's probably a combination of the two, but I'm wondering if you could talk a bit about the material that you go in, like, as you stand and you're ready to play. I wonder if you could talk about the kind of material that's going through your head, if anything. Some people prefer to clear their minds completely, so I'm just wondering if you could talk about that.
The main part of that music for me is the thumb and index finger. You know, it's a lot of music and your art of what your fingers understand and make you understand.
And you've got some calluses there too, right? Is that right? I haven't seen your hands up close yet.
These days I'm in very good shape. Nothing has happened like that at all. In fact, very, very little.
So,
I just wanted to mention thanks to Scott Brown for lending Henry this beautiful bass.
Absolutely.
Because we weren't able to bring Henry's own beloved green bass, Olive Oil, which was given to him by William Parker, because we came in a tiny yellow car driven by our friend Joe, and she wouldn't fit. So thanks, Scott.
What's it like playing another, like, this is an Olive Oil, and so were some of the sounds or the strength of the sound surprising to you, Henry, or what?
Let me hear that again.
Well, when you were using Scott's bass here, was it different to play on it than it would be if you were playing Olive Oil?
It's wonderful bass. I enjoy it at least as much as Olive Oil. This is wonderful, wonderful instrument.
It seems like you're transported when you're almost in the instrument.
Yeah.
When you're there with it.
The instrument itself creates this magic flying carpet, you know, and you get on it and fly all, you know, it takes you on a trip. You know, which is, I know that's a trip. You know,
Henry was doing
a
residency at Berklee College of Music, and a student got kind of upset, and he wanted to know. He said, "Henry, how can you play something you don't know? I mean, how can you play something you never heard before? I mean, how can you do what you're doing?" He was kind of outraged because he was so educated, you know, and he thought you had to look at charts and learn from someone else's solo. Mm-hmm.
What did you say?
Henry said the instruments know a lot.
That's what I was just saying.
Right.
It's very true, yeah.
So you have to trust in a way, somehow, or maybe trust yourself?
I teach it to be, you have to play a beginning and play an ending. And that is easier, you know, if you don't know. It's not easier if you don't know what I mean or never, you know, might block your experience channels, you know, for one thing. But that's the thing.
Who meant the most to you? Like, did you have a mentor for music, or was it something that you made yourself with your instruments? Like, what was your path to it?
Well, it was coming from the music, jazz music, and that which you're asking me is jazz. That's all I know about it. You know, it's jazz.
Are there any moments from, because I know that you've played with so many people, are there any moments that that you come back to in your mind, that with some of these people, some of them now gone, but like Mingus or
I like to keep them with me, you know. It might be Mingus or it might be Jerry Mulligan or, you know, groups like that. This one, Miles Davis.
And how do you do that? How do you keep them with you?
By not defueling their musical extravaganzas as they exist within me, you know, myself. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I have it's not experience, it's non-experience, you know, something that you never experienced before. And so you can just play it in improvising.
And they're with you still?
Yeah, just improvising is a very good teacher. Mm-hmm. The best teacher, I think.
It's an unconscious knowledge?
It's not conscious or unconscious, but it is both. Maybe it's some planetary thing, you know, like Sun Ra did, you know.
Yeah.
And you have to be brave, it seems like,
to risk being open to it. After it starts feeding you, you start going happy up there, you know, and on the bandstand.
Yeah. Do you just sort of not know, like you're just going to play the song until it's finished, like an unaware of what's going on around you?
Yeah. Ideally, yeah.
Is that what it's like when you're making a poem, too? Like,
yeah, definitely. Everything. A poem is everything I've ever, you know, if I've ever played anything, a poem goes into, you know, into it and is, you know, the poem that made it music.
Do you feel like reading another poem, Henry?
Yeah, I was just thinking of that. Here's the one that, well,
let me... we're getting the notebook here.
You can stay here.
Oh, okay.
And let's see. And so I'll just mention again, Henry's book is available from Buddy's Knife Press, Signs Along the Road.
Apologia Pro Vita Sua, somewhere between 1984 and 1999. The poet gives to his gifted eye the poet, or rather, the magnetism of attraction and attraction power. In unctuous coals and burning flame, he reached a narrow fame and, or, the marrow's frame, phantoms of sublimity. A natural relation is constructed between sound and sense. Decontextualization. One may therefore find a poem that causes a fusion between the line of equilibrium and the same one of an inattention that takes place spiritually as mentally, as well as in spontaneity. That was my version of an apologia pro vita sua.
Yeah, like a manifesto. Thank you.
Thank you.
And so I love how also in the book and what you just said, sometime between 1984 and 99, I think. Yeah. I love that, how it's like this sense of time that's in all the poems in your book, because you choose to place them, but not very particularly.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, I evolved this method of causing my meditation to come true in those meditations. And that's what happens.
Right. And so are you writing all the time now that you're also playing music? Are you able to do both, like still with the poems and with the composing?
What I do now, I do is on a sort of a continuation of what I did in between 1988 between 1988 and 1999. And it just comes to me that... poetic vision is easier to handle without name tags, you know, and labels.
It seems like that there's been some really hard times, Henry, that you've had, and almost like a loss of like this, the loss of the bass or the violin, like these real outlets that mm-hmm. that you have, but that you seem not at all like you seem so like you have this spirit of hope where that's not something that's apparent at all.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like the way, like, I don't mean this to sound at all cheesy, and I don't know how to say it, except that it seems like you have, like, this way mm-hmm. and this being of the artist that so many people want, but what they sometimes confuse with careerism or I don't know what else, but you've got something pure.
Yeah. Well, these things may come out individually in you know, certain players and musicians, it's something that everyone loves to do, you know. It's just that each one of us are individuals, and when we, as one individual, goes through it, you know, it's because we're inspired by, you know, that power of individualism that can take place.
And so we all have our own ways of showing it and being,
yeah.
like, in the art or making
yeah.
art.
And do it just as much as non-prejudice, you know, no prejudice. You know, just as much as no prejudice as a poet, you know, as a poet has, or...
Like to find, the truth of something?
Yeah.
Is that what you mean by
yeah,
that?
Yeah, and basically, if you want to get right down to it, the music, you know, is that.
Yeah.
He does have a way of embodying artistry in a pure way, that the word you use, purity, it's very special with Henry, and it's a very advanced condition, and I wouldn't know how to tell someone else to achieve it.
Right, right. And it's not easy.
No, so, it's been through a lot.
It's developed from 1980, about 1988 to 1970, you know. It's just that, you know, it's had its own experience, you know. It's been through the mill with the writer, you know.
Right. Well, what, maybe to switch gears a little bit, Henry, what is it like when you're, because you're playing with a lot of groups too. Now you're back. You're living in mm-hmm. New York City, and because we're getting to see you solo here, which is a gift. What is it like also playing with people again? Because you play with William Parker and other, right? Like how?
Yeah. It. It's a great experience. Formulas is what the thing that comes true right here, you know.
Formulas.
Yeah, formulas, you know. And maybe in some other spread of lifetimes, it might be other than formulas, you know. It might be...
Is it something where, do you got, like, how, when you go in to work with the people, is it something that you guys have some sort of a baseline idea and then you build around it?
I think so. I listen to music, you know, recordings of or CDs, DVDs, so forth of individual and get it that way, you know. But as I think of it right here and now, the thing of real first importance is what individuals will do with their own power of gaining the individualism, you know, that they should have, you know. They should be able to feed themselves, you know.
That, which is interesting, because I was just going to ask you what it's like when you're performing, like mm-hmm. like tonight at the Canterbury House, for example, with those people, and people who are coming, who've listened to you, maybe albums from, you know, many years ago, different, mm-hmm. you know, stages of your life, and you're performing in front of them. How is that different than when you're, like, you're practicing alone, and doing that work, the work alone?
Well, it's different that the types of liberties that you take, in that way, it's like practicing your. It's further on from practicing. You start playing music. You start at a certain age, you know, like anything else, and you stay with that certain age until you get older, you know, if you want to call yourself old.
Oh, right, like stages in.
Yeah. And
understanding.
That individuals being different along the steps in the road, you know.
Yeah, signs along the road.
Yeah.
Right, and the steps.
Yeah, well, you know, I could, just what we're talking, I could write another one right now, steps along, you know, steps up the steps to, you know,
well, I'll look
walking up the steps some kind of way, you know. That's,
yeah. Well, I want to read that. Maybe you guys will email it to me. That'll come later.
Later. That'll come later.
Henry, would you like to play again? Because we're getting closer to our time. Do you want to play another song? And Margaret, will you tell us the Chicago dates that are coming up, too?
Which would you like first?
Let's have the Chicago dates, because you can catch Henry tonight. Matt, if you want to...
Yes, tonight at the Canterbury House. The address of Canterbury House is 721 East Huron. It's at the corner of Huron and Thayer Streets, right off of campus, right across from the construction. And the show starts at 8 o'clock tonight, and the doors are at 7:30 p.m.
And Margaret, then we've got some more dates coming up in Chicago.
Yes, and New York, too. This is one of Henry's month schedules, and it's kind of typical of the months these days. It's really exciting. He's playing September 3rd, 5th, and 6th, which are Thursday, Saturday, and Sunday of this week, at the great Fred Anderson's Velvet Lounge, and it's at 67 East Cermak Road. Henry has his own trio with Harrison Bankhead, who's awesome, and Avriel Ra, who's just wonderful, on the 3rd, two sets from 9:30, and Saturday and Sunday he's really thrilled about this, too, with an all-star quintet, Fred Anderson, Kid Jordan from New Orleans, Henry, Harrison Bankhead, and the great Hamid Drake. So those are after sets of the Chicago Jazz Festival, which is a great festival, and everything is free if you can get there.
Margaret, will you give people you have a contact, like a website, because maybe if you give them that, they can go to that for more information on the contact dates, and then we'll have Henry, we'll get to some music to go out on. That would be great.
And the 12th and the 19th, he's playing in New York City, so check henrygrimes.com. That's simple enough.
Yes.
And here's Henry with Scott's bass.
you. Thank you, Henry. It was beautiful. Well, I'd like to thank you all for being here today on Living Writers. This has been wonderful. Matt, thanks for setting this up. Matt Endhall has kind of been the man to bring all this together. And to, yes.
It's my pleasure. I'm very glad that we have the opportunity to have Henry in town again.
Oh, yes. And come
you
back
are
anytime.
A great interviewer. I think this is the best interview ever. It's just so sensitive and intelligent. It's a joy.
Oh, thanks, Margaret. And thanks to Margaret Davis Grimes for being here. And Henry, thank you so much for your music and for the poems today.
My pleasure.
It's been brilliant. Well, I'm T. Hetzel. You've been listening to Living Writers. Henry, do you feel like taking us out on a song? Do you feel like another song? Or
do you have any requests?
Oh my gosh! No. Anything that hit you would be wonderful. And I'll just say thanks for listening, Ann Arbor. Thanks to Alex and Brian for engineering, making us sound good. And thanks for streaming. Whether you're Florida, Chicago, New York, Seattle. Thanks again to Henry Grimes.
Won't you be my neighbor? Won't you be my, could you be? house phone jumping. Play ball in the alley is jumping. Treat the corner store like it's a luncheon. I heard your best friend like my cousin. Old lady say to stay out of grass. Talk back, then I got put on punishment. Couldn't go outside for a minute. Even try to run away like I'm tough, man. I know you like my bike, it's off you with the pins.